Nag named Brian.
Brian.
I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy. I'm really grateful and honored. I'm always grateful to be asked to share anywhere, ever. I'm grateful when y'all call me on the phone and want to talk to me. So to be asked to come out and share in front of the room, and I got a lot of people in here who I love a lot, and I know have a lot of love for me. And that wasn't always the case. You know, and I'm really honored and blessed to be sharing down in Ocean City, Maryland. This is like my favorite convention of all. Like, I love coming down here, right? I've been coming down here since I was a teenager, and I love being here, man. I'm excited. You know, I don't know about the fire talk and all that stuff. You know, but I'm gonna talk about the topic that was assigned to me, and the woman doesn't know who called me, so I knew she wasn't being smart, but I thought she was being smart, and I'll tell you in a minute, so the topic is becoming a productive member of society. So if you know me for a long time, you know that that's funny, because my mantra in my whole life, my goal in my mind is to do no work and get the biggest reward for no work. That's what I want to do. I want to do no work and get all the reward for it, right? I want to sweat. I don't want to get when the alarm goes off, I'm pissed off. I don't want to do no work, right? You know, so I spent the majority of my life prior to, well, there was definitely no work before I got here. And when I got here, I'd say I spent the first 10 years looking. I had like 379 jobs in my first 10 years, and I don't know, and I couldn't do any of them today, right? Like that whole jack of all trades, master, and that's me, right? Like, I'm like the best laborer you ever met. Don't ask me to read the tape measure, pick the hammer up, or do anything. I can't do none of that, right? I can carry rocks around, you know what I'm saying? I hated work. I hated going to work. You know, if there was something in me that felt like I was like unique in my allergy to a boss, right? Like, I thought I was unique in that, because I seen you guys, you know, working really hard, and people came in and they had ambitions and they were like going to college, and I just wanted to like make meetings, right? I wanted to do as many 90 and 90s as possible. I didn't want to go to work. Fuck that. I'm busy. I wasn't interested in becoming like the productive member of society. I didn't want any of that. I wanted to hide out here with y'all. I wish we could do this every weekend, right? That's all I want to do. I remember one of my main goals, right? I got clean. My clean date's March 28th, 1994, right? My first world convention was in St. Louis in 96. And then I found out the next one was in San Jose in 98. So my plan in 96 when I went home was to look to find a job in San Jose, move there, work for 2 years, go to the world convention, find out where the next one was going to be. And I was going to be like a world convention groupie, right? You know, like a nomad. Like, I was just going to, you know, just go different places and get these little jobs. Like, you know, maybe I'll be a waiter or something, man. You know, so that was my plan. You know, but that involved work too, so I didn't even do that, right? You know, so what happened was, is I used to think, because you know when you got something going on in your life and you're struggling and you don't know what's going on and you keep trying to label it with other stuff but nothing really fits right, right? Like I get fired from the job. I never even got fired from a job because I left before they had the opportunity to tell me we didn't want you back, because I don't mess around with rejection real well, right? So I knew you were going to, I knew I was fired, right? Because I didn't go to work for a week, right? So, you know, I would just never go back. I just wouldn't go back, right? And I used to call it laziness. I'm just lazy. You know, I'm just chilling. You know, I don't really want to go. You know, I want to hang out with y'all and go to speaker jams and, you know, do this stuff. And I want to be the main speaker, so I got to be at home practicing. You know, I don't got time. That's what I'm going to do. You know, I heard they fly motherfuckers places. Well, I heard you get a free meal and shit. you do this real well. That's what I wanted to do, right? But the fact of the matter was that I had something inside of me that was in, I was hopelessly hopeless inside, right? I'm talking about I was scared to death to do anything with anybody that wasn't y'all. Because I felt like I could come in here and share a little bit, read a couple lines, get by, but I was not built to be dealing with the real people out there. Y'all are fucked up like me, so we're good, right? Like, you know, you come in and share how, you know, I'm in my class, I got 3 years clean, I don't want to work, I'm still dipping into my mom's pocketbook in my clean time because I need gas money to go pick up the newcomer, and then y'all clap for me, right? You know, like, we clap for the people when you acting crazy. You know, so I didn't know how to, like, go, you know, to admit what was going on and take that and go outside, right? And I used to try to, like, I just try to do things. Like, I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll go to college, right? I don't know what I want to go to college for, but other people are going to college. I'm going to go to college. You know, so I know I was living in Norristown, Pennsylvania at the time, and you had to go, it's called Montgomery County Community College, and it had this, like, it was like a mile walk from the parking lot, you know, to the building. I mean, it's long, right? So, like, I would sign up for the classes, you know, and I would, you know, at first I couldn't even, the fear would be like a wall, right? It was like the disease was waiting for me, like halfway up the walk, right? And I'll get halfway up the walk, and it would sell me on, yo, you tired, go home, go to sleep, right? Or you ain't even supposed to be in school. You ain't built for school. That's for some other people. That's for normal people. That's for other, like, you too old to go to school. I was 19. You know what I'm saying? For real, 19. With 2.5 years clean time. Talk about you too old, you missed the boat already. Fucking teenager. I'm talking about the stuff the disease will sell you on, right? You know, and even by the time I got to the college, right, and made it up the thing, I never even went to class. You know, I majored in snacks. You know, minor in ping pong. That's what I went to school for and paid for it. Like thousands. You know, to like eat Cheez-Its and play ping pong. You know, this is the kind of things that I don't want to do no work. Right, so what I needed to learn, right, was I needed to get a sponsor and a home group and be willing to tell the truth, and I needed to learn how to first become a productive member within this society, right? Because if you don't know, this is a society within the whole society, right? The way we deal with each other here. So I needed to learn how to interact with y'all first. How do I become a productive member of this society, right? What do I do? Do I show up, you know, do I get my clean time, and then I get some stuff, and then I bail out, like I'm done giving back to the pro. I don't give away nothing no more. I got a little car and a little girlfriend, a new watch shining now. I don't got no time to make. I make one meeting a week now, right? That ain't productive, right? Ain't productive when, you know, I ain't really going inside with the step process. I ain't really showing up to my home group on time, right? Home group members want to come at 7:05, want to leave at 8:55. Know the meeting's from 7 to 9. Supposed to be there setting up chairs while I'm still taking, you know, in my clean time. You know, I needed to be willing to, like, you know, to check it out. They say freedom's not free, right? So, well, what, that sounds cute. What does that mean? Freedom ain't free. That means there's some work that's required in order for my spirit to be free. So if I'm not doing no work, I can't complain about the fact that my whole life is a mess. My relationship's in shambles. But I don't want to ever read the basic text. I don't want to ever stay on the phone with the newcomer. I don't want to pick nobody up for the meeting because they out of the way. Forget the fact that I'm forgetting about the fact when the people picked me up when I was out of the way. Right? But now I'm busy. I got a life now. Right? Or I want to have the people in my life who ain't living right, but I ain't willing to tell them the truth about how they're living because of the uncomfortability it's going to make me feel. You know what I'm talking about? All y'all, every one of y'all got somebody in your life who's living slimy right now. And at one point, you were the slimy one. Right? So check it out. I got people in my life who were willing to tell me about my slime ball behavior because I had productive people who were willing to save my life. Like, yo, you got 5 years clean, dude. Get a fucking job. You know what I'm saying? Stop charging newcomers for gas money. That's what I did for a living, right? I charge newcomers. You know, like, you know when you knew when you go to the diner and, you know, you starving and they're like, yo, you come to the diner and you're like, nah, man, you know, I ain't hungry. And you, you know, you weigh like 99 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Your stomach done digested itself last month. You starving. We know you starving, right? So what the experienced member says is, come on, man, I got you. You know, come out to eat. I buy, you know, just do it for somebody else when you get a shot. I was trying to pull that shit with like 4 years clean. Yo, babe, you coming out to the diner tonight? Nah, man. They're like, all right, later. Yeah, we done buying you. Get a fucking job. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for the people and the productive members of my life who are willing to tell me the fact that, like, you can recover all day in NA. You know, but recovery is what we learn about. When we leave here, it's what we practice in our lives. So it's real cool to get, like, you know, like, this is like a mysterious thing to me right here. I get real caught up on the microphone and the speaker tapes and the people, like, check it out. Because in my mind, right, I start thinking that I become required to be, I got to be a performer, right? All the people are coming in, they expect me to say something specific. So now I'm at home, and instead of like reading literature, because I'm on a 10th step and taking a personal inventory on a regular basis, I'm trying to find some new Gucci shit in a Living Clean book, because I got to blow them away down Ocean City, right? Because y'all don't know, this thing is real, like, you know, this guy, I don't know about y'all. I don't really hear a whole lot of people talk about all the time. But to me, I want you to like me. Right? I want you to accept me. I want you to ask me to come. I want you to buy the CD. Me, my ego. Right? It's, I need that. My ego, my disease feeds off it. You know what I'm saying? Now, I thought because I was a dude who'd been clean a long time that shit didn't really exist. So we talk about being a productive member, right? Now, I want to share with you that I never really got... This is what I did with the job piece, right? Just fuck the... You know, I was like, I don't like working for people, so I started my own business. You know, so if you don't like for working for nobody, go start your own business, right? I'm allergic to the boss, so I figured I had to become the boss, right? There's probably some people in here right now I owe money to, right? You can talk to me after the meeting, you know what I'm saying? I'll try to square up with you. But, you know, because I've spent so many years taken, you know, so I ended up being like, you know what? I needed to do something because I found out that the fear was I don't want to work for nobody. The fear said you ain't good enough. You know, you good with the clean time. So congratulations on your 5 years. Congratulations on your 10 years. The disease saying congratulations on your latest speaking, you know, conquering the last convention. You doing real good, but you ain't never really going to get the thing, right? You ain't really going to get the you know, that spiritual, the freedom, the, you know, like the, you know, just the, it's off me thing, man. Right? You always going to be chained up. Right? You can celebrate black keychain CDs, but you ain't never really going to be free. Right? So don't even do the work. It's not even worth it. It's a waste of time for you. And I'm here to tell you, listen up. Listen, if you're new, right? And you in here and you think that all you get is clean time, you're robbing yourself. You can do anything. Anything you want to do. I come from a hopelessly lazy, you know, procrastination, you know, like, you know, like, check it out, give me an efficiency and a job at 7-Eleven and I'm good, right? Pack of Newports and a hug, that's all I need, you know? I don't need much more than that, just give me that stuff, man. You know, that's all I need. I don't want no trouble, don't expect too much from me, I won't give you too much, right? And we'll be good there. You know, and God took me, man. Once I got free and did the step work, God took me and put me into some places that were beyond my wildest dreams, right? Now, I don't even really talk about a whole lot, but we talk about productive member stuff, right? You know, I had the opportunity with a few other people to start this business in like 2003, right? Me and a couple friends of mine, I called my friend Chris up, Chris M., and I said, hey, I got this idea to start this music magazine thing. I'll tell you about it later after the meeting. But I said to my man, I'm gonna start this magazine thing. You wanna start it with me? And he said, motherfucker, you got like a 9th grade education. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've worked at 7-Eleven, Wawa, you've done roofing, siding, plumbing, electrical, you know, and now you wanna write a magazine? He's like, nah, ain't gonna work. You know, he's like, good luck. You know, so a week went by. I put in a little bit of work. You know, I made some phone calls, and this dude named, you know, this high triangle, you know, it's an outside, this big name artist in the music business called me and said, hey, I want to be in your magazine. And I didn't even have a name for the motherfucker yet, right? So I called my man Chris M back, and I said, such and such called me today, and he wants to be in it. And he said, oh, let's do it. So that was in like 04, right? So like next thing you know, it's like 08, and we have like this internationally distributed magazine. We've worked with every record label. You know, we got all like trucks and all this stuff, right? And I'm thinking that was productive member. Like now I'm a productive member. I got people and partners and, you know, like LLCs, whatever that means, and, you know, all this kind of different tax ID stuff and, you know, like computers and, you know, people relying on us. And I'm like, this is it, right? People are talking about buyouts, and I'm going to sell the mag for gazillion dollars. And, you know, then I'm really, you know, I don't have to do shit. I'm retired in my mind, right? In my mind, I'm done. And then something happened that was beyond my ability, like, you know, the economy crashed, right? And so I don't know if you are, you know, like, the print game's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the print games, like, the only thing they print now is this shit. You know what I'm saying? This is it. You know, people ain't buying that stuff, so the print game went away, and I felt like my life was over. Because I was scared that I was going to return to being this dude who was completely unproductive, who didn't have a college education, who couldn't swing a hammer, who wasn't in the union, who didn't have no backup plan, right? So it's like the economy's crashed and, you know, we have to let this whole thing go and I don't know what's going to happen and, you know, I'm single and, you know, then I me and my now wife, then girlfriend connect. You know, and I don't know what's going on because I'm like grieving a process of what was going on. But the woman comes into my life and I'm thinking she must be sicker than me to want to be with me in my current condition because I don't got nothing to offer. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, living on this in this apartment. It's like, you know, apartment was fucked up. The apartment was nice, but I lived there, so it was fucked up, right? You know, and I couldn't, like, I didn't even know why she wanted to be with me and, you know, what was, you know, but she came in and loved me in the condition I was in, man. You know, and it was like, no matter, just in your current condition, they don't care that your apartment smells like dog shit. Smelled like dog shit, right? I don't care. Like, we gonna clean it up. Right, well, you know, and she like nursed me back to life, kinda. You know what I'm saying? She pumped hope back in. She said, "Listen, I don't care where you work at or how much money you make. I'm gonna hold you down. We're gonna ride out." You know what I'm saying? So that was like, you know, and it gave me something. Like, check it out, women, right? Like, you might be trying to look for the man who already has it, but are you willing to ride out with him when he loses it? Right? Are you willing to sit there and because she held me down, and then I ended up, you know, moving from there. It's a whole other story. But I moved from there to like the far northeast of the city, which I said I'd never live in ever. Right? I moved to northeast Philadelphia, and God, you know, listen, I believe in God. Right? I believe in God. I got evidence and faith of God. And if you motherfuckers who don't believe get to talk about how you don't believe, that means I get to stand up here and tell you how I do believe. Right? I get to sit up here and tell you how I got an undying faith and reliance and evidence. Now I don't got a, one of these fake fraudulent, you know, I say I believe, but when the shit hits the fan, do you live like you believe, right? Are you reaching out for the help when you're hurting? Are you talking about how you feel when you feel it? It's easy to put it in a box 2 weeks after it's done. Like, yeah, I was fucked up 2 weeks ago. And then what happened is I read the Living Clean book. You know, I read, the Who's an Addict 3 times. It's like you'd like repenting or something. You know, like I want to call my sponsor with like this perfect thing in this box to give him and say, hey, I'm already good. I only need your help. The difficult part and the faith and the hope comes in and says, can you talk about where you're at when you're there? Right? Can you do that when it's going on? Right? So I learned them, and my sponsor in the 12 steps taught me that, man. And I found out that all that, you know, the business and the failed business and all that stuff, and it was all sometimes God be doing stuff to you, right? That whether you believe or not, that's fine. But God be doing stuff in your life, preparing you for a scenario that you can't see yet. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Hold up. Listen, I'm a big fan of the book. I ain't gonna tell you. If you didn't want me to read the book, you shouldn't have sold them to me. Look at, check it out. It talks about how often we succeed or fail is not the measure of our program. Wait. Failure is experience, strength, and hope in disguise, right? So it means that when I'm failing, when I think I'm failing, when God's taking something from you, he might just be making room for the experience and the hope that he's about to bless you with. But if you get too jammed up and you're trying to use people, places, and things to make you feel better for the failure you're experiencing, you're going to be out of the position that God's trying to put you in to give you your next life blessing. Look, failure, just like success, has an important role to play in our lives. Taking us places we would never choose to go. Look, I wasn't trying to go to the Northeast, get married, and raise no kids. I was living on Broad Street, you know, chilling. I was in South Philly chilling. I don't need, listen, I got, you know, the cheesesteak spots over here, the poppy store is right here, right? I know the dude at the poppy store, so when the money's low, he gives me Newports on credit. I don't need to go nowhere, right? I ain't trying to move somewhere I gotta drive to get cigarettes now. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't in the plans, but check it out. When failure happens, it gives me an important role to play. It's taking me somewhere, right? And I failed, and God put my wife in. She breathed life into me. God moved me to a place I would have never chose to go and put me in a place to become married and become a stepfather because I was raised for a stepfather. So God had already been preparing me for the role he was trying to move me to 30 years ago. Look, at 30 years ago, God was preparing me to be where I'm at right now. And I don't want to bitch because my wife asked me to take the trash out. I'm that dude, right? I'm the dude like, yo, recognize who I am. You know, defects of character are ugly, right? And they get in the way of productivity, right? Of me being able to be accountable and responsible. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it talks about how we get the opportunity to arrest, you know, the defects of character for a day. I get one opportunity to arrest the defects of character, but what happens is they get the opportunity every day to become paroled, right? So every day that the defects, they're coming up to the table and they're trying to get parole, and I'm on a parole board, right? Now I get to decide whether I want to have, you know, Ocean City, Maryland on the board with me, and we can, like, chop it up and figure out whether we're going to let the defect out on back on the street, time served, good behavior, right? You ain't acted out on that in a while, right? Knock on the door, or I get the opportunity, is it going to be me on the parole board, and I quietly, you know this is where you fucked up at, when you think something or you're doing something, and your next thought is, don't tell nobody. It will be all right, just don't say nothing. Don't say nothing to nobody. They ain't going to understand. You've been clean a long time now. They don't know what it is to be you. Don't say anything to nobody. That's how my disease talks to me in quiet, loving whispers. It's like the softest, sexiest voice you ever heard. And it's mine. You know what I'm saying? In my own voice. You know, up for parole, talking about, yo, I know your wife just looked at you crazy. This is what the defects are saying. She didn't say nothing. You asked her a question, she just didn't answer it fast enough. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about nitpicking stuff. Well, I'm talking about, you know, impatience and tolerance with me, so I project it onto you. So if I ask you a question, you better answer that motherfucker on time, right? And my defect comes in and it says, yo, she ain't answering on, yo, what's it been, like 4 seconds? You know she heard you, right? You know, my wife's 9 years older than me, right? So disease, like, she might think she your mother. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's going consequent. This is the shit to be in my head, right? For no reason, no invite, right? It ain't like I'm acting out crazy. I'm just crazy. You know, so I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm in the parole board and we're having a meeting, me and the defect, and it's anger, and anger's just like, yo, man, I've been real good. Like, you've had me locked up for a few months now, and, you know, your life's all right, but you're going to need me for this one.
Right.
Like, she ain't paying attention, right? And you're going to need me. Like, my man was talking about, hey, you require me to come out to teach a motherfucker a lesson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? We about to, who does she think she's talking to? Right? You ain't no sucker. Right? You broke up with chicks for half the amount of shit she be sending you through. You know what I'm saying? That's what my head says. Like, really? Oh, you want me to take the trash out? Fuck you, I'm leaving. Never. Don't never come back. Like, I ended relationships like that. That's a whole other meeting, though. You know, I'm on a parole board, and so when the anger comes up and it gives it the opportunity and it's talking to me in my own voice, the sweet voice, you know, let me out. I'm going to handle, we're going to teach her the lesson, handle your business. You know, she's going, and it's going to work this time. Like, it ain't never worked. No, never did it work, right? But this time it's different, right? So I let anger out, and I say, just, because I'm a little shook, right? You know, like, who the fuck you talking to? I just say it like that. And then the next thing you know, I got this whole exchange going on with my wife. And it's like, you ever like wake up from a blackout? I'm sure somebody in here has. You know, you ever wake up like 2-3 days later, be like, what the fuck happened? Like, that's what happens in my life when I'm in exchange with my defective character trait, and they come out, and I'm like, now we're going back and forth, and anger pops out, and now I'm saying some slick stuff, and she's looking at me like a man for talk, you know, like, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then the next thing you know, so I let anger in the building, the parole board, but now the door's cracked. So this is why freedom ain't free, right? This is why freedom ain't free, because works require. Because what happens is I open the door, I let the one out, right? And now I'm sitting here doing the dance and the exchange with the one, and the rest of them, right? The rest of the defective character traits that are begging for release are now back here with a cracked door. So they don't need a parole board. It's just a jailbreak. Anger, rage, impatience, intolerance, ego, entitlement, resentment, petty frustrations, it's all out. And they start saying, this is why when you're in a fight with your significant other, you start saying shit from 7 years ago. Because they're all running around like, yeah, yo, I remember that time that you didn't put the air in my tire in 1998. And then I got a flat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the stuff. Like, it all's on the table, right? And I'm just tripping. But the problem is, we're talking about obsession and compulsion. See, obsession gets a lot of airplay, you know, in our clean time. But compulsion is the thing that says, you're going to do this. And you're going to do this, and you don't get to stop. I'll let you know when you get to stop. Disease of addiction, you ain't done yet. This ain't over. You ever been in a fight with your wife, or you've been stealing, or you're acting out, you're cheating, or whatever your thing is that you're struggling with right now. You know you want to stop. You want to stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. Disease got you by the throat. Can't stop no matter what you do. You want to do the step work. But you don't do the step work, right? You go tricking, or you go steal from your job, or cheating on your wife, or refuse to go to work, right? Want to hide out in the program, right? Want to, I got, that's me. So want to hide out here, you know, just be low. Don't ask me for too much. I won't give too much. We'll be good. Compulsion says you will not. I'll let you know when you're done. And when I let that door open, them defects are running my life now, and I'm caught up in the grips of compulsion in my clean time. Right? What happens is I don't know when the drugs are coming out. Because using, you ever hear, so I used to say some funny shit in that night. Like, you know, as long as I don't use, everything will be okay. I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. Right? That ain't true. Everything's cool as long as I don't use drugs. Right? Well, check it out. If you keep living like an animal, you're going to put yourself in a position where the disease is going to sell you on the lie that drugs is a come-up from how you live in clean. Where you won't even, when did I ever use when I wanted to? Like one time in 90? Right? Maybe two times? In 1989 or something? Like one to use never had nothing to do with actually using. Right, so in my clean time, I might think that getting a job and being a productive member and all that stuff doesn't have to play into each other, but it does, because as I stay clean and I start making better decisions for myself, my self-esteem and my self-worth gets a little bit higher and I start wanting more from myself. And as I continue on the step process and the self-centeredness is diminished from the first step and I have a spiritual awakening in the 12th step, God starts to not only want more for me, but he starts to require from me. God calls on every one of us, and the program is going to call on every one of us to do work. Listen, I'm going to say this and be quiet. If all I ever got was the 7-Eleven job and the efficiency and a pack of Newports and a hug, then that would be a Powerball winning come up in comparison to what active addiction was. Right? So I'm not putting you down, or I'm not saying that, like, you know, recovery's about, because recovery ain't about getting a job. I know motherfuckers are doing life in Greaterford who ain't never gonna have no job, and they recovering their ass off up there. My small sponsor had did a commitment with the lifers up there for 30 years. Right, he said, I know killers up there who I would let babysit my children today. So being a productive member don't have nothing to do with work, but when I'm out here and I'm in the world and my self-worth and God are calling on me to do something more, I got to make sure that I'm in the right position and the right posture of my heart, right, and my spirit, so then when God calls on me, I can have the ability to answer the call. Right? You ever been out of position? You ever miss a phone call that you needed to take? Right? Like, check it out. If you at work or you have a job and your boss calls and he says, listen, answer the phone on Monday. I'm not even going to tell you what time. And I'm going to give you a bonus of $10,000. Everything would be canceled. Right? Whatever I had on Monday would be canceled. I would be sitting wherever there was full bars on the cell phone. Right here, like this. All the way in position to receive what it is, the gift that the dude said I was going to get. So we're telling you in Narcotics Anonymous that the position you need to be in to receive the gifts that the program and God are trying to bless you with, in order to be in position, you need to have a sponsor, you need to have a home group, you need to do step work, you need to get involved in some kind of prayer, whatever it is, and you need to be in service. Service means thinking about yourself less and thinking about other people more. And as long as I do that stuff, I will consistently be productive, and I'll always be in a place to answer the call that God wants me to answer. That's my experience. Thanks for listening.